Brother Jeffrey Dykes is preaching, and Brother Joy Holden preached the other night. I'm talking about evangelists, because I'm just, not that we haven't all the pastors have preached great, but I'm just thinking about them as evangelists. If my friend Brother Dexter Worrell was alive, he'd have handed them $100 just for preaching that message. Amen. He'd hand Brother Joy one, hand Brother Jeffrey Dykes one. And if you don't take Brother Dexter's place since he ain't here, that's just fine. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it's been a great meeting. I've certainly enjoyed it. And I enjoy opportunities to pray. I don't know about you, but I enjoy that opportunity just to get to pray. I remember several years ago, I was up in Potosi, Missouri. Brother Ralph Horton was preaching the camp meeting there. He was preaching, and I got so excited and so full of the presence of God by his preaching. I sat there thinking, please, Brother Ralph, give an altar call. I'd like to just bow at his feet. Amen. Please, I didn't want to get saved, but I wanted to get to that altar. Hallelujah. Yeah. And and there's no use you complaining about not having enough, getting enough prayer in when you don't pray whenever you get an opportunity. You know, there's no use to that. And I'm always complaining about I don't get enough time in prayer, so I like to take advantage of these altar calls. And I may not be over here where you're praying, but as long as you're here praying, I'm going to try to be over there praying for you that God will move in your behalf. Now, that's just the way I am. That's not, like I said, I may not be there by you, but I'm praying for you. And I thank God for altar calls. I really do. I wish I was able to give one every time I preach that was effective. But sometimes my altar call seems kind of weak. But I'm glad for those that can give good altar calls. And I felt like this morning we had a good opportunity to pray. Huh? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me say something else. Now, you know, a lot of times I'll just ask you to sit and read your Bible while I preach. You know, read, you know. And you may wonder why that I don't say everybody stand. It's not because I'm dishonoring the ones that do. It's just that for over 50 years I've never seen that. And I can't get in that habit. You see what I'm saying? So if I don't say anything, it's just because this is the way I started out. This is the way we preached. You know, you just preached and people read and that. So is that all right? Does that make you feel bad if, you know, if you, you know, people ask people to stand? Well, that's stand, you know. Amen. I'd like for us to stand not only for the word, but upon the word. Wouldn't you? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's been good. And I'm sorry. Today's my boy's birthday. My son would have been 49 years old today. He came with me as just a little boy down here. Preached the homecoming down here, but Jack King gave him a little 60cc scooter, motorcycle, whatever you want to call it. Come with me different times. I know he's in good hands, but I miss him. That's just all I say. And if it would have been a week after he died, I wouldn't be weeping, because I'd watched him suffer so long. That was a relief to me. But it seems like either I'm getting older and more sentimental, or it's just more real to me than it was back then. So I don't mean to burden you with those things. I mean, it's not anything for you, but I thought of him, and I had to tell you why I was weeping. I wasn't crying because you look pitiful. I just happened to have the wrong thought. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know. I think today, I'd like to just read something to you. I don't know just how to get into this, but I want to just read something to you because I'm going to be preaching about the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation. And when you think about the church of Ephesus, I just can't understand how that church could have missed on anything. How could you miss having John the Revelator in your congregation and maybe your pastor? And Paul, when he wrote to my writer here, says as a heading for that book of Ephesians, it says the major theme of this letter is that the church is the body of Christ. Paul also metaphorically spoke of the church as a building in which Christ is the chief cornerstone, compared the church to a bride who will soon be united to Christ. The key idea is that a body has as individual parts that must operate as a unit. God's plan is to bring all believers together with Christ as the head. Give the scriptures there, but that's just kind of give you an idea of what Paul is writing about. And I think it's just a wonderful church. To me, it's just a wonderful church. I want to read you something also, and if you want to, just turn to your Bible there, and I want to just read something from the book of Acts, where Paul met with those elders or the pastors of Ephesus, and he met with them, and he said this in the 29th verse of the 20th chapter, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Now, possibly we could put Nicholas in there, the doctrine of Nicolaitans, I don't know. So therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, brethren, I commend you to God, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Don't you like that verse? Don't you like that? Heard Brother Pittman quote that the other day. And I thought, whoa, that's rich. I turned to my Bible, just read it again. Now, brethren, I commend you to God, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I've coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessity and to them that were with me. I've shewed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. I can't find that in my reference, but I'm sure he said it, aren't you? When he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Now, that's just some reading there. And again, you brethren that ask us to stand, I'm glad to stand when you read. I don't want to put something there that will cause hard feelings between us. I hope you don't feel that way by me. Amen. Because I honor you, and I'd like for you just to honor me, okay? Amen. Now then, let's turn to Revelation. See why I don't you stand. You know, old preachers just, they read a lot. You ever notice that? The older you get, the more scriptures you read. Brother Shad McDonald get up and just take one verse and preach for an hour. Just bless you and have people on the altar praying and everything. Amen. Well, I can't preach that long, so I have to read an hour. So, all right. Revelation, the second chapter. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, how it has tried them which say they're apostles are not, and has found them liars, and has borne, has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And this thou hast, but this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I like that, don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. When I read in the book of Genesis, our first parents, they were kept away from that tree of life. But when I read in the book of Revelation, the first church is invited to be a partaker of the tree of life. I like that. I don't know about you, but I do. Now, I want to make a statement or two here, if I could. One thing that got me on this was one day I was in my study, and I just reached out to a little paperback book there, and I just reached out and got it. I hadn't looked at it for a long time. And in fact, I couldn't tell you when the last time I was read it. I saw on the front of it that someone had given it to me, Brother and Sister Mooney had given it to me in 1977. So I've had it quite a while, haven't I? But I got to reading it, and I thought, boy, this is good. What on earth? Why haven't I read it before? And then I ran across where I'd marked it and read, so I knew I'd read it, you know, and thought it was good back then. But it just kind of dropped out of sight. And what it was, and I know you preachers have it probably, Arthur Bloomfield's All Things New. Amen. Arthur Bloomfield's All Things New. And I want to give you some of his quotes, because I saw there, I'd read that, I'd underlined it, but I'd missed that. But he said, and this isn't what I missed, but he said, Revelation completes the story that Genesis begins. Genesis tells how the earth became subject to a curse because of sin, and Revelation allows us to see a new earth where there's no more curse. In Genesis, you have light coming from the sun. In Revelation, the Lord God is the light of the holy city. In Genesis, dominion is given to man, only to pass in the hands of Satan. In Revelation, dominion is restored to and the saints inherit the earth. In Genesis, the tree of life appears in which a man may eat and live. In Revelation, the tree of life is seen growing again, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. In Genesis, Satan appears and is victorious. In Revelation, he appears again and is defeated. So, Revelation is really a continuation of the book of Acts. Amen. It's the work that God has the church doing. Now, another thing he said, the first church of Revelation is a church that was just beginning to leave its first love. Therefore, the first part of this prophecy was being fulfilled even as John wrote the times. And remember, the Bible said, the book of Revelation, which God gave unto his son, assuring his servants things that shortly come to pass, sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and testimony of Jesus Christ, all things which he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Keep those things written therein, for the time is at hand. Can you imagine being John and realizing his church was failing? First, don't you know that was heartbreaking to this man of love? To realize his church was failing. Amen. Another thing that Arthur Bloomfield said, and I'm just reading this to you. Nevertheless, where it says, Revelation 2:4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He had this to say about it. He said, the word somewhat, which was inserted by the translators, may seem to soften the censor. Such, however, is not the case. It means, I have something serious against you. Now, if you want to find out that's true, just remember, somewhat was inserted. Go to your Strong's Concordance and look at the word against. It's a very strong word, amen. It's not just a, oh, well, you know, take it, leave it. I believe he's right. I have something serious against you. And you know, he said, this is the place where most churches begin to weaken. The weakness cannot be seen from the outside until it arrives at an advanced stage. At the first, only Christ can see it. Amen. And when I read that, I just typed this in. Every time I've read Revelation 2, 1 through 7, I've said to myself, where could I find a better church than this one? And the other day I picked up that book I wrote down, and I began reading, and I found that I'd read it before. I did. Amen. But when I came and saw those places I'd underlined, I wondered why I'd never caught what was being said. I've been preaching all week about how there's times when God reveals the word to you because the time is right to make it known. Amen. I've preached that all week to you, and I hope that I don't wear you out at this time, but I'm just, trying to preach to you this, what the Lord has laid on my heart. And so I got to looking at this and thinking about this. Thou hast left thy first love. There's something there. There's something there, as he said, I believe that's right. Only Christ could see it. The reason why I read everything is I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it. They hated the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I got to look at them. If it's right, while I read, he was one of the seven deacons. Nicholas was one of the seven deacons there in Ephesus. And he was a Greek proselyte from Antioch. And his word meant, Nico meant conqueror. And Laetes means laity. He was a conqueror of the laity. And the deeds, as far as this writer, if he's right, the deeds were wives, adultery, fornication, and idols. No wonder the Bible says, thou hast hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Paul had warned them, and I read that to you about grievous wolves entering in. They had that. They not only kept out unbelief, they kept out unbelievers. You can read it right there in the Bible. They kept out unbelief and unbelief. But all the time there's something that was working among them that they weren't realizing that's happening to them. And only by listening to the voice of the Holy Ghost could they have found it out. But they were so busy living good that they got to listen to the one that teaches us how to live better. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, I really, and this again in Methodist, want to help you. But again, I want to just say, I feel like that as Pentecostal people, we need to begin to realize the necessity of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm not talking about just something, you know, as far as, like I said the other day about prophesying when it's nothing really. I'm talking about where he can reveal things to us by his word, in prayer, or whatever it is. I believe God still has revelations, amen? The Bible says, examine yourself, prove your own selves, whether you be in the faith or not. And I think it's time that we look at ourselves and say, are we going the right road? We have service after service, and we have very few people seeking the Holy Ghost, amen, and we have hardly anyone ever receives the Holy Ghost. But I want to tell you, the devil knows that we're going to need the Holy Ghost in these last days, amen, if we're going to make it through and keep victory in our souls, amen. Is that all right? Amen. I hope, you know, this Arthur Bloomfield, I want to read this, what he said. This is 1959 when he wrote it. And I thought, if he was around today, he'd be woken up. He said, our government has stood so long because it has built and cleansed an element when things get so bad, the people go to the polls and vote the rascals out. 1959. It's the reason why I said because it stood on the Constitution. Boy, if he's alive today, he'd wonder, wouldn't he? Huh? He'd really be waking up. But what we see, and I believe I'm right in this, what we're watching with President Trump, you may like him, you may not like him, may vote him, may not vote him, but what he's trying to do is bring America back to where it once was. Amen. He's trying to bring America back. And if we had any really thinking in our minds, and I'm not calling you stupid, but we'd be praying day and night that God would help our people that's in places like that. Because we've found out that money has just kept on being moved in there, And people are all keep on inspecting, looking for flaws. And sooner or later, you're going to find a flaw. It's just going to be, it's just a reasonable thing. Amen. So what he's trying to do is what we see the church needs. Amen. And that is we need to repent and do our first works. Amen. But you see, I looked at these seven churches. You like those seven churches? I got a way, I figured out a way to remember who the seven churches. You remember that little word? I don't know if I even say it. Extrasensory perception. ESP. All right. ESP. That's Ephesus. That's Smyrna. That's Pergamos. TSP. Thyatira. Sardis. Philadelphia. Last L. Laodicea. Got it. All right. Amen. I just thought I'd tell you that. But what I'm saying is that we have something going on. That if he does it, it'll be a miracle, and God will have to be in it. You understand what I'm saying? If he does it, it'll be a miracle. Because no church, no denomination from the history of this, and Revelation bears it out. You just follow it through to those seven churches. No denomination, once it begins to go from the things that God had started and brought revival to it, somehow it never sees a need to return to that. It just keeps going in that direction. It's gone. Amen. It just keeps going on. Amen. And though there are people that will get in these denominations, they try to turn it around. They try to change it. But so far, the only thing they do, they lose more than they gain. Amen. Because their ministers winds up pastors, liberal churches, amen, and that liberalism gets in those ministers' hearts, amen, and the next thing you know, amen, they're gone, I'm just telling you. So when the Bible says here that you've left your first love, I want you to just kind of look at that and just think about that for a little while. I believe that the same thing, amen, that destroys a church is the very same thing that many times destroys a home. You take a person gets, I remember when I got married, amen. You know, I had a wedding anniversary every month, amen. I was making $5 a day, working 14, 16 hours a day, lifting 10,000 pounds a day, amen. And yet I would bring a little something home, you know, just some little something, amen. Just because, you know, we live in that little house, and I remember when we moved into it, it's like March, and it's cold. Had a little oil heater, amen. It's cold, it's disagreeable. Had an ice box when we could afford ice and put ice in it, you know. And I had a wood cook stove. And later we had a wood cook stove, but the ashes would fall out in the biscuits, you know, because it burned out. All those things. But we had one another. You see what I mean? And so you just lived, and you worked, and you did. And you wrestle with your debts, and you try to keep things up, amen. And I was such a good manager that one day I come home carrying a little guitar, a little Gibson, $70, $5 a month, hallelujah. My wife nearly fainted. I wasn't a good manager of money then, I'll tell you for sure. A lot of preachers need to realize first thing you do is turn the finance over to your wife. But I ain't telling you what to do. But anyway, amen, I'm just saying. But, you know, you start out, and you're happy. You have very little, amen. And then later on, you begin to notice the neighbors got more than you have. And you start looking around, and you start thinking, well, you know, I need a better job. And your wife starts thinking, maybe I could find a place to go to work. I'm not against women working. I'm not here to preach against that. But I'm simply saying, amen, that what motivated them to want to do that? Was it love for each other? No. It was love for what the others had and wanted to be like the rest of society. That's what motivated them to get the jobs, because they wanted the good life. They wanted that. But, you know, I've watched that, and I've seen sometimes when they'd be out and work together, and they'd be have a boat, and they'd be out there, and they'd be cleaning that boat to take it for a ride, you know what have you. But then all of a sudden she goes to work, and she buys her a new car, and he has to sell his pickup. And the next thing you know, that boat's just sitting there. It's not there. Year after year, it's there. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not talking about something I'm imagining. Amen. And I don't know how it'll turn out, but if they aren't careful, you know what'll happen? There'll be a nice home. There'll be a boat. There'll be two cars or more in the garages, amen, that have a good, nice riding lawnmower, and everything's up to date, except one thing, they have left their first love. They have left their first love. They have allowed that other stuff, wanting to be like society. And the next thing you know, amen, well, I've got my new car, and, you know, we come to home, and we get in a little fuss over something. The next day she goes to work, and there's that nice man that just understands and so caring. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, God help us. God help me not to say get on Facebook. That'd be just the death of my ministry, wouldn't it? Amen. If I'd say get on Facebook and somebody get on there with you sympathizing, and I wouldn't want to tell you that people have divorced over those little things. You know, I'm not going to say that. Amen. Well, if I did say it, I meant to. All right. Amen. I'm just simply saying that the thing of it is, the motivation changes, amen. And that's exactly what Jesus sees in our churches, amen. That's what the others don't see. They can drive by, they come to our service, they can see people shouting, see the drums and everything going good. And they say, boy, that's a great church. But if that motivation has changed from a love for Christ and His Word, amen, and suddenly we're motivated by what our church can do and accomplish, I'm telling you, that is a sign of the losing of that, or leaving, rather, that first love, amen. When you got saved, you just wanted to hear the Word of God. You wanted to live the Word of God. You wanted to enjoy the love of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But later on, amen, we get the place, you know, just like, you know why denominations do what they do? It's because of the fact, amen, they got to keep it together. And it becomes more important than God's Word. Huh? Hallelujah. I don't know if this is true, but I heard it coming down here on the radio. I listened to a gospel station. This man is on there. And he told about a man, it seemed like his name was Kenneth Stanley, maybe. His last name is Stanley. And if I understood him right, he was Charles Stanley's son, has a church. And he's talking about him. And I thought about Brother Prescott. Remember Brother Prescott preached here, and he told how that Charles Stanley's grandfather brought holiness there where his wife lived there in Virginia. And people had lived in those places up there. They couldn't even leave the food on the table on Sunday morning. Thievery was so bad, they'd steal the food right off the table. So stealing and drinking and moonshine and all that stuff going on. And Charles Stanley's grandfather come in there, amen, and preached the gospel. And those people started getting saved and sanctified and baptized with the Holy Ghost, amen. And all of a sudden it turned around. You could leave your door unlocked. You could leave whatever there. Amen. It was safe because God had come into that community. Amen. That was Charles Stanley's grandfather. But you see, time it trickled down to Charles Stanley, if I understand it right. Now, forgive me if I'm wrong, but he got to want to do some things that holiness people wouldn't back him with, so he joined the Baptist church, amen. Then he becomes a great Baptist pastor and well-loved and ever has lots of money and lots of people, amen. And then his son comes along. Well, we've digressed from an old-time holiness preacher down to the first Baptist or second Baptist, whatever it is. And then next comes the son. And I heard that his son said, amen, that we shouldn't even have the Old Testament. And then he said, his son said, amen, that unity was more important than doctrine. I say that is a good sign. First love has been gone. Amen. It's left behind. Hallelujah. I'm trying to preach to you the fact that we need to realize sometimes the word stings, sometimes the word hurts. Amen. Praise the Lord. I told one time a fellow's kind of complained to me about some evangelists come by and preach for him, and we was talking. I said, well, I look at it like this, brother. I said, as I pastor a church, I get connected to them people. And suddenly I've got grandchildren sitting there. You know what I mean? Their children become my grandchildren. I get all, and I said, once in a while, I need an evangelist come by and remind me what my job really is. I'm not there to be a grandfather. I'm not there to be a father. I'm not there to just make them feel good in their sins, amen. I'm there to preach the gospel, amen. So I said, it might upset me, and I may not like it, amen. But sometimes I need that prophet to come along and just open up my eyes one more time and get me straightened out in the direction they need to go. old. Now, you take that. You do whatever you'll do. I pastored for 52 years. I don't expect you to pastor like I did, because if you did, you probably have the same success rate, and you might really be disappointed in yourself. So, anyway, just forget about that. But I'm just simply saying, amen, we need the Word of God. Hallelujah. The time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. Heap themselves teachers having itching ears. Amen. And that so they'll find somebody. Amen. If I say it right, you're going to do it right. Amen. I'll just have everything going my way. I'm telling you, my friend, there's nothing like old-time preaching. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you remember? I don't know if you know this, Brother Joy, but your grandpa, Bob Holden, amen, was a deacon in a church out there in Oklahoma, I think it was. Amen. Sister Coralie, they had their first baby. I think it's Johnny. Amen. There was Johnny. Amen. And she had that little baby, and she had to go outside to take care of the baby, change a diaper, so what it was. But the old pastor got up, amen, and he said, I want all the deacons come up and sit on the altar, amen. All the deacons come up, and there was Bob Holden, amen. The old pastor walked back, took a key, and locked the front door, said, ain't nobody leaving. Hallelujah. And so he got up there, and of all things, he started preaching on television, and Bob had one, amen. And Coralie was trying to get back in the door, and she's locked out. And Bob couldn't get away. Hallelujah. Before that was over, there's some changes made in those deacons. I'll tell you for sure. It's because somebody just said, I'm going to set this thing straight. I'm going to straighten it out. I'm not here for fame. I'm not here for fortune. I've got this freely. I've received it. I'm going to freely give it this morning. Hallelujah. I'm talking to you about this. You know, we cry about a lot of things that's going on in this world. But there's a lot of things in this world. It's the church's fault. It really. Now, when I say church, I'm not talking about the Holiest Church. You understand that? I'm not talking about the Holiest Church. I'm talking about the church. You read in the book of Revelation, all those churches was his church. Huh? Right? It was his church. Amen. I just say, try to get in that Philadelphia church, because he said before an open door. Amen. And then that fourth chapter, it says the door was open in heaven. I heard a voice say, come hither. I thought, that's the church of Gideon. Amen. That's the door I want to go through. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Amen. I just like to hold on to that. But anyway, I'm just simply saying, amen, when I'm talking about this preaching business, that, you know, we got the place where it says, if a woman has long hair, it's a glory unto her. But we say, God don't mean that. God don't mean that. So we changed it. Amen. And read there where a woman should not wear men's apparel. Yeah. That which pertaineth to a man. We said, that's in the Old Testament. That's not for us today. God don't mean that. Hallelujah. And now we're wringing our hands about these transgenders, the homosexual revolution, all that. Who caused it? Amen. Praise the Lord. When I was a boy, when Sunday came, factories shut down, stores closed. Amen. You couldn't sell a bottle of liquor nowhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, we just kept going. And pretty soon somebody comes and said, Pastor, amen, what about it? If I work Sunday, I'll get so and so and such money. And you say, well, just as long as you pay your tithes. Hallelujah. And then we cry because we have no Sunday school attendance. Amen. I'm telling you, we've sown to the wind and we're reaping the whirlwind. We were sold out. Amen. By feeling like we needed to have this. Amen. I'll tell you what. If the Lord hadn't had convicted me when I was a young man, first got saved, when I was living out there, I'd had a good job at that time in the oil fields. I was working out there in the oil fields, and I'd had good money coming in. My wife had a good job out there. But I got saved. I got back to the Lord, 1955. Came back to Brandsville, Missouri. Went to work. Amen. Then out there on the farm, I thought that I didn't know you wasn't supposed to be unequally yoked together. And this man was a good friend of my dad's. And I said, well, my father-in-law. And my father-in-law said, I don't care how good of friends you are, you need a contract. And so I said to him, he wanted me to take over his farm. He's going to go run the store. And I said, well, we need a contract. He said, if my word ain't no good, the paper wouldn't be good. That sounded reasonable. So I took his word for it. Before it's over, brother, amen, I lost my car. I say lost. I'd had to trade down to keep him loose. That, amen. And I've told you before how that I'd go to the stingiest man in the county, look through his tars that he throwed away off his hay wagon, put tars on my car. Amen. and goat drive the church on flats, amen, having all kinds of trouble, amen, and finally got a job at Amick's Dairy, amen. And I went in, I told Mr. Albert Amick's, amen, I said, now I've got the job, and I said, happy to run outside, happy Sunday. I run back in, I said, Mr. Amick's, I can't take that job. He said, why? I said, well, I don't want to work on Sunday. He said, you won't have to. I said, good. Good, amen. So I took the job, and so we started getting a little better. And I traded for a car, took a man's word on how good it was, and I made a bad mistake there. Amen. It took a quart of oil, 12 miles from town, 12 miles home, quart of oil every day. It's supposed to have been just freshly overhauled, you know. Amen. Well, I'm learning, you know what I'm saying? But I was doing better. At least we had a car that run. And, amen. And I could milk the cows, you know, at night when I got home from church and go preach somewhere and whatever. I started preaching. And so I was really having a good time. Amen. I was working there today. And one day, Elbert Amick's brother, he was over the dairy part. I was back in there working, running the bottle washer. And he said, now, won't you get with John in the morning? Amen. He said, because you've got to start running every other Sunday and picking up milk. Boy. I shocked me. I know I've told you this, but let me tell you one more time. Amen. So I walked off another room. I said, let me think a minute. I walked off the room, bowed my head. Amen. Come back in. I said, Kurt, I really appreciate the job, and I need the work. But I said, I just can't do that. He said, well, when you get your check this evening, don't come back. Amen. So I went home, and I told my wife. Amen. And she, I never forget holding her in my arms. Amen. Her putting, my shirt was wet from her crying on my shirt. Amen, saying, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know, honey. Amen, but I had an old cow I wanted to sell. And I'll sell her, my dear. Amen, maybe we'll get something going, you know. And then we'll go from there. We'll get a little money that way. So I took the old cow to town and couldn't sell her. The market was flooded all day long. I stayed up there and couldn't get her sold. Amen, finally at night, there's a guy come up and asked me about my cow, and I told him, yeah. I said, what do you want for her? I said, $80. Wouldn't like to buy a bunch of them right now for that, huh? Hallelujah. He just wrote me out a check, and he said, I only got one place you can cash that. That's Dwight Richards, amen. Richard Brothers, a store, a feed store, and dry goods, and, you know, general, just groceries and everything. So I said, okay, amen. So I took the check, hot-footed up to Richard Brothers. When I went in the door, I saw my brother going, my oldest brother, Fred, going out the front door. Amen. And looked around, there wasn't nobody running the desk but Dwight Richards himself. And I walked up and handed him my check, and he looked at my check, Charles Barnett. And I said, yeah. He said, you Fred Ball's brother? I said, yes, I am. He said, your brother was just in here talking to me about his daughter going to work for me, but said, I told him I didn't need a woman, but I needed a man. And he said, I told him what I wanted. He said, he thought you might fulfill the bill. But he said, he told me you was working for Amick's Dairy, and I don't hire people out from under other people. And I said, well, I don't have a job, Mr. Richards. I've been fired. Boy, that'll get your attention in a hurry. You know? He said, fired? And he said, yeah. He said, why? And I said, I told him. Amen. And he'd come in the office here, talk to me. And so I went home that day and told my little wife, amen, in the morning, I go to work for $40 a week, amen, just like I was getting paid at the dairy. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'd work 72 hours for that $40. But I'll tell you something, amen, when you're young and healthy and you can do it, you don't mind it, amen. You just enjoy, amen, the challenge. Amen. But what I'm trying to say, that job, working as a meat cutter, it took care of me a lot of time. When I was building the church and finally got through the church and I was deep in debt because I spent all my time there. Go to town, amen. Somebody hired me to cut meat. I'd get paid up, amen. Get my debts all clear. Then I'd get under conviction because I wasn't doing more for the church. Then I'd quit to my work, amen. Then I'd go in debt again. But after all those years, I want to tell you, I'm glad that I had some convictions about Sunday worship, amen. And that it was the Lord's day, and I'm glad that I did what I did, because if I hadn't done it, amen, I wouldn't have been here today. That's my testimony. You know what you're going to do about it. But I believe, my friend, that if we would ever realize that it was the churches, amen, and our desire, amen, to expand, to do things that we really should have been doing, amen, if we hadn't just been willing to just hold on and let God be our leader, I believe we might have been poor, but I believe this old world called the United States of America would be more concerned about its soul and have more conscience about right and wrong than it has right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Motive. What's your motive? What's your motive? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I know it's not right, brother. We got to hold things together. You know. Amen. I know it's not right. But listen, I believe, let me read this to you. I know this is not preaching very good, but Daniel Stamp said, knowing correct doctrine, obeying some commands, and worshiping in the church is not enough. The church must have, above all, a heartfelt love for Jesus Christ and his word. Hallelujah. And listen to the words. In Deuteronomy, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God, with all the heart, with all thy soul. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I'd like to see the days like we saw in the late 40s, great healing campaign, what have you. Do you know what the specials were back then? Huh? Huh? Some folks building homes as fine as can be. They're leveling their yards and they're planting their trees. My little hut, I'll just let it be, for Jesus is building a mansion for me. How'd you like to have that for a special right now, huh? It wouldn't fit, would it? Hallelujah. It wouldn't fit. Amen. I'm talking to us. Amen. I've got a nice home. Praise the Lord. Amen. If I don't get anything down here, when I go home, I'll pay my electric bill, my water bill. I can do that. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. I can do all that. But at the same time, amen, what happened back there with Jack Cole, them guys? Jack was a member of the Assemblies of God. And the Assembly of God leaders got to talking about it. He's making too much money. So Jack Cole went up and took pictures of where they were living and put it in his magazine. And they got in this big fuss over who was making more money. And the next thing you know, amen, they had their ideas, they had their institutions, but the move of God was gone, amen. Why? Motivation, amen. They were motivated by the fact they're getting more than we are, and we're not going to have it. We're not going to have it like that. We can't have an individual out there making more than the organization. I'm talking about leaving your first love. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'll tell you what. Amen. A mansion for me. A mansion for me. Built my Lord on dark Calvary. My little hut, I'll just let it be. For Jesus is building a mansion for me. Ooh. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, yes, I'm just like you. I like the better things. I like the finer things. But I'll tell you something I'd like to see. One more time, I'd like to see revival sweep this place. Amen. I'd like to see us. Amen. I'll tell you what. I feel like our missionaries are still getting the same offering as getting 30 years ago. They may not be. I ain't giving much more. I'm just being honest and confessing my faults toward you. I'm trying to preach on, thou hast left thy first love. You're not motivated like used to be. Amen. In those days, they had a meeting down in Jonesboro, Arkansas. William Branham was the preacher down there at that time. Sister Upshaw, I bought her house later in years. Amen. Lived in Brandsville, Missouri. She had a cancer on the side of her face. Amen. That cancer was eating her face up. Amen. She and Sister Grace Bridges and some of them went down there. Brother Floyd Lindsay got his old truck that he hauled gravel with, an old flatbed truck. Amen. And, you know, we didn't have the safety rules back then. People loaded on that truck just like a bunch of Mexicans. Amen. And they headed for Jonesboro. Amen. They got down there in that service. Amen. William Branham stood up in that church. And he was standing there and he said, that lady back there in the fourth row in the blue dress and counted so many people over. He said, stand stand up. That was Sister Upshaw. Amen. He said, your cancer's healed. Go home and forget about it. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Upshaw went home. Amen. She's sitting on her couch one day, and that thing fell off her lap. Didn't even leave a scar. Amen. I'm a living witness. Hallelujah. Amen. She lived in that medium home, you know, just a modest home. Praise the Lord. But I was there. Amen. But she was dying, standing outside the window. She had an unsaved daughter in there. And she was said, oh, Flo, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, Flo, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Sometime later, amen, I come home from leaving the service, Brother Joy. Amen. Helped a little revival at a place called Union Hill, out of the community church. Amen. And Flo, Upshaw. Amen. And her husband, I can't remember the last name now. I've got the name mixed up. Amen. But anyway, they came to church. Amen. And I gave an altar call. Guess who come? It was Flo. And she was tasting. And she found out he was just as good as the Lord, as my mom said he would be. I'm telling you, my friend, we got some wonderful things going for us. I'd like to get to the place where I can say, Lord, whatever it takes, I'm willing to sacrifice whatever it takes just to see a move of God one more time on this whole world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Hallelujah. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Hallelujah. It means more, amen, than just getting them to make a commitment. It means more than just say, well, they're saved. Amen. The way I see it, he said, don't you stop. You make them just what I made you. Hallelujah. Disciple them. Make them my disciples. Hallelujah. You know, I'm not accusing you of leaving your first love. I'm just warning you, don't leave your first love. Hallelujah. Don't be motivated by money or power or fame. Don't be motivated by numbers and noses. Brother Junior Collin used to say, Brother Dave Nicholson noses, I believe what he said. Amen. I believe that's right. Amen. So anyway, amen. Don't be motivated by that. Be motivated by pure love for Jesus Christ and his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Wouldn't you like to come down as pastors? And I, like I said, I've been a pastor. Wouldn't you like to come down as a pastor to the end of life, lying on your deathbed and your church gathered around you, and lift up your hands to him and say, my hands are clean. Glory be to God. My hands are clean. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you what to preach. I'm not telling you how to preach. But I'm just saying, don't abandon your first love. Hallelujah. The thing that got you started, the thing that motivated you, the thing that called you to preach. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Miller, can you remember the first message you ever preached? Hallelujah. Oh, no. But do you remember that feeling? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We probably didn't preach 5 minutes, did we? Boy, it felt as good as if we preached 30. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? He comes down and takes people like myself. I don't have an analytical mind. I told Brother Mike Roberts, after looking from the 9th of May to the 15th of August the next year, I'd read Hebrews 277 times. Read it through 277 times. But Brother Lloyd Shoecraft ain't read it near as much as I have. But he's writing the commentary on it, I think. Yeah. I don't have the mind to do that. But I do have one thing. I know he called me to preach the gospel. Yeah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And I'd rather be back driving a car, amen, that didn't have good tires on it, having flats, having to try to get it started, pushing it off to try to get started. I'd rather be back to that as to lose that precious presence of Jesus Christ. I've done my best. Could you raise your hands? Let's praise the Lord. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We appreciate you. Ha! Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's time for me to give it over to the pastor. And Brother Dykes did a good job on the altar call. But I'd like to tell one more thing. You know, I was talking about how the spirit of prophecy come up on people. Since Brother Joey is here, Brother Bob Holden and I were good friends. He preached different revivals for me. In fact, I've told you this before. The last revival he preached was for me. I feel honored. Amen. But we differed greatly on the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. The first time I told him I thought Jesus would come anytime, he said, Charles, that's Assembly of God doctrine. You can't be in free holiness and believe that, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And so we differed on that real strongly. Amen. And he's holding me a tent revival one night. And he's just a preaching away. Sweating. Oh, he was sweating. Amen. And it was late in the year, so it wasn't hot weather. In fact, I didn't wear a coat because I didn't want people to think it's cold. I didn't want to get the idea we're chilly. You know what I mean? So I just wore a shirt. I wouldn't wear a coat. Amen. Boy, he's a preaching. Sweat. He is over on the platform over that side. I'm watching, and he's under the anointing. Power of God falling. And all of a sudden, he looked and said, my Lord, he could come tonight. And I said, amen. Bob Holden said, slip of the tongue. I said, the power of prophecy. Not really. He didn't say that, but he probably thought.